to be free. I wish I could break all the chains holding me. I wish I could say all the things that I should say.
You are listening to the Prison Voices Project, a radio storytelling project highlighting the voices of people impacted by the prison system. The Prison Voices Project airs on the second and fourth Thursday of every month from 10 to 11 a.m. on WGXC Hands On Community Radio 90.7 FM. If you are listening to the program and would like to share your story with the prison system, or you have ideas for the program, or you would like to get involved, please write to us at 704 Columbia Street, 2nd floor, Hudson, New York, 12534.
I wish I could give all I'm longing to give. I wish I could live like I'm longing to live. I wish I could do all the things that I can do, though I'm way overdue. I'd be starting anew.
Welcome to the Prison Voices Project on WGXC 90.7 FM in Hudson, New York. I'm Allison McKim, and thank you so much for tuning in this morning. Today, we're going to return to a story that we told on March 13th, 2014, this time with good news. In that episode, host Corey Fisher Hoffman focused on the felony murder rule. This is a law that holds all people who participate in a felony during which a person is murdered responsible for that murder, even those folks who did not know about, plan, or take part in the killing themselves. The show featured Pasquale Carpenter, who was convicted under the felony murder rule in 1990 when he was 18, after a robbery during which a young man was killed, a robbery where Pasquale served last minute as a lookout, but did not have any role in the murder per se. Despite this, he was convicted of the crime and sentenced to a prison term of 25 years to life. At the time, Pasquale had learned of the Prison Voices Project from the Building Bridges newsletter that announced the beginnings of this radio show and our desire to have incarcerated people not only listen to radio, but also collaborate in making it. Pasquale then contacted the Prison Voices Project from his cell at Sing Sing Correctional Facility in Ossining, New York, and he put Corey in touch with Deirdre Sinnott, a woman who made a powerful film called 23 Reasons Why 23 Years is Enough. This film examines Pasquale's case, the felony murder rule, and looks at the perverse effects that the politicization of crime can have on the workings of the criminal justice system. When we broadcast his story last year, Pasquale Carpenter had been incarcerated for over 23 years. And on March 2, 2015, just a few weeks ago, Pasquale was released on parole after serving 24.5 years in prison. So in honor of this occasion, we are rebroadcasting the episode. If you want more information on his case or the felony murder rule, you can go to pasqualecarpenter.wordpress.com or to the website for Deirdre Sinnott's film, 23reasonsfilm.com. Here's host Corey Fisher Hoffman.
This is a great, great, exciting show that is focused on the felony murder rule. And so just to give a little bit of background on where the idea of this show came from. The Prison Voices Project, which airs on WGXC 90.7 FM, goes out and many people can hear the program within Greene and Columbia County from inside of prison. And there are many listeners who are currently incarcerated in Coxsackie Correctional Facility. And there are also people who are incarcerated throughout the state of New York who have learned about the Prison Voices Project through the Building Bridges newsletter, in which the Prison Voices Project announced itself so that people inside of prisons in New York State would learn about the program and could collaborate and participate. After that first article was written, I received a letter from someone named Pasquale Carpenter who really wanted me to cover not only his case, but his particular situation, which is that he's currently serving a 25-year sentence in prison as a result of the felony murder rule. And essentially what the felony murder rule means is that anyone that was participating in any incident that led to a murder, even if that person did not participate in the murder itself, could be charged in essence, for murder. And so Pasquale Carpenter, you'll hear his story throughout this, but who essentially had been last minute asked to be a lookout for a robbery that had gone terribly wrong and resulted in the death of an innocent person. Pasquale got charged for essentially that murder, although he did not actually play a role in the murder. So through our correspondence with him through letters, he connected me with Deirdre Sinnott, who is a filmmaker who put together a film called 23 Reasons Why 23 Years is Enough, and tells a little bit more about his story. So we're going to jump into that programming pretty soon, but I just wanted to start off the Prison Voices Project today with a little bit of music. Yesterday when I got home from work, I walked in the door and this song was playing, and my partner who was playing it had it blasting, and it just reminded me of a dear former roommate of mine, Rafiq, who, if you're out there, if you're listening at all, this one is for you. He and I lived together, and after he got released from prison and we were living in the same house in Philadelphia, he played the song every day over and over and over again, very, very loud. And so it's forever etched into my memory, and it always makes me think of him. So this is I Find It Hard to Say by Lauryn Hill.
I find it hard to say that everything is all right. Don't look at me that way, like everything is all right. 'Cause my own eyes can see false pretenses, but what you fail to see is all the consequences. You think our lives are cheap and easy to be wasted as history repeats. Taste it. And while the people sleep, too comfortable to face it, his life so incomplete, and nothing can replace it. People sleep, too comfortable to face it. Your life's so incomplete, and nothing can replace it. Fret not thyself, I say. These laws of man, 'cause like the Bible says, his blood is on their hands. And what I gotta say, and what I gotta say is rebel. Today is still today. Choose well. And what I gotta say is rebel. It can't go down this way. Choose well, choose well. Choose well, choose well. comfortable to face it. Your lives are so incomplete, and nothing and no one can replace it.
I Find It Hard to Say or Rebel by Lauryn Hill on the MTV Unplugged album. And you are listening to the Prison Voices Project on WGXC 90.7 FM. Please call in and make a pledge at 518-697-7400. You'll get a Prison Voices Project Volume 1 mixtape that includes the song that you just heard by Lauryn Hill. And right now, I'm going to announce a couple of upcoming events. So one of the upcoming events in the area that might be of interest to listeners is that this coming Monday, March 17th at 6:30 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church in Hudson, which is at 4th and Warren Street, they're going to be hosting a workshop presented by the Campaign for Alternatives to Isolated Confinement, which is also stands for CAKE. CAKE has just had a New York Assembly member sponsor a bill, and it's coming before the legislature in early May to end solitary confinement in New York State. And so CAKE is traveling throughout the state of New York and the Hudson Valley and Capital Region to get support for this legislation. Also represented at this meeting will be the National Religious Campaign Against Torture. And so people who are people of faith and people of conscience who want to learn about the continued effort to end isolated confinement in New York State, although there was a recent victory that people under the age of 18 and people with mental illnesses should not be held in isolated confinement. There's still a long way to go before isolated confinement is totally abolished in the state of New York. And the people who are organizing this campaign are really making it very clear that being in a cell isolated for 17 hours a day with no contact, no access to services is really a form of torture. And so the Campaign for Alternatives to Isolated Confinement is coming to talk about this legislation, and you can join in this conversation and in this campaign. So the meeting will take place Monday, March 17th at 6:30 at the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson at 4th and Warren Street. Hope to see some of you there. I will be there, and in future programs, I will be covering this issue of isolated confinement and this struggle in New York State to end isolated confinement. There is also going to be an exciting event. New Yorkers who are organizing against incarceration injustice are planning a big rally and event May 5th, and I produced a PSA for it. So I'll play that PSA right now. Join New York against incarceration injustice on Monday, May 5th. Cornell West will be the keynote speaker at a noon rally in the East Capitol Park in Albany. The rally will be followed by a march and legislative visits that demand a stop to solitary confinement, parole reform, release of aging prisoners, an end to discrimination of formerly incarcerated people, and a Truth and Reconciliation Commission that examines the racism and injustice in the prison system. For more information on the day of action or to find out about transportation, contact nysprisonerjustice@gmail.com or call 518-434-4037. So that was announcing an important day of action on Monday, May 5th. The keynote speaker will be Cornell West. And I'll continue to announce more information as logistics for that event come together, as well as transportation needs for people in the listening area in Greene and Columbia counties who might want to go up to Albany on Monday, May 5th to participate in the New York Day Against Incarceration Injustice. You are listening to the Prison Voices Project on WGXC, and now we're going to turn to the feature part of the program. So as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, the Pasquale Carpenter, who's incarcerated in New York State, wrote a letter to the Prison Voices Project and said that he would love for us to cover the felony murder rule, which is a rule that has led to his incarceration for the past 23 years. He was kind enough to put me in touch with Deirdre Sinnott, who's a filmmaker who produced a film called 23 Reasons Why 23 Years is Enough. And so for the remainder of this program, I'm going to air an interview that I did with Deirdre yesterday, as well as excerpts from her film that she produced, 23 Reasons Why 23 Years is Enough. And so I started off our interview by asking her how she got into contact with Pasquale and about the felony murder rule. So here is the interview with Deirdre Sinnott.
Hi, Corey. I'm so glad to be here and so glad to be on this particular show. Well, the film is really about Pasquale's case, about the political firestorm that developed around the case, also about the felony murder rule, which was something that Pasquale Carpenter really was adamant about talking about and completely right about talking about, and also his own rehabilitation. We met in about 2 years ago at Otisville Correctional Facility when he was an actor in one a show I went to see, and we started a correspondence back and forth. And, you know, it does not surprise me that he got a hold of you to talk about this film, because he has always been very much on top of his own advocacy and his and trying very hard to connect with people and to stay connected to the wider world while he's behind bars. Well, the felony murder rule kicks in when, if someone has been involved in a violent felony and during the course of that felony, somebody is killed, the person who is killed could be the initial victim, say, of a kidnapping or robbery or rape. It could also be one of the defendants, if there's a multiple, if there's multiple people involved in the, let's say, home invasion or burglary, if one of the defendants is killed, it could kick in. If there is a bystander or somebody during the flight away from the crime and someone is killed in a car accident or something like that, that could also trigger the felony murder rule. In looking more closely at it, that often the application really sweeps in a number of people who had, you know, made clear decisions not to be part of a murder, but yet they end up being charged with the felony murder rule because prosecutors find it so much easier to convict somebody since they don't have to prove that the person actually killed the victim, that they had the intent to do so. So a lot of times right now, I feel like it's used as a way to get someone who is under arrest to plead to the crime that they should have originally been charged with, say, manslaughter one or two or some other kind of offense.
And so Pasquale Carpenter, who we're about to hear his story, thanks to a clip from your video, 23 Reasons Why 23 Years is Enough, he was sentenced to 25 years to life in prison for essentially being a lookout, which was a last-minute request of friends of his on a robbery made bad. And so let's go to a clip of 23 Reasons Why 23 Years is Enough. And for those of you who are listening who'd like to follow up and see the film, you can watch it online. And the website is 23reasonsfilm.com. And we're speaking right now to the filmmaker, Deidre Sinnott, on the Prison Voices Project on WGXC 90.7 FM. So here's a clip, and then we'll be right back.
The plan that everybody knew was that there's a concert at Roseland, a big event, and that's where we're headed. During our train ride, there must have been at least 50 of us. When we finally got to the train station, all of us filed out of the train car. I was happened to be with a girl whose twin was speaking with Johnny during the train ride. So I proceeded to go up the stairs to leave the train station, but I didn't see where the girl I was talking to on the train, where she had went to. So I decided to go back downstairs and check. At this point, I met someone who I knew as Kevin. And Kevin indicated to me that, listen, we need a lookout. We're about to get paid. What was odd for me was that it was so many of them. So I went back up the stairs, about halfway up the stairs, to see if any of the cops were coming or anything like that. Within seconds, it was complete chaos.
The Watkins family came from Provo, Utah, so they could watch tennis at the U.S. Open. At about 10 p.m. September 2nd, 1990, while Pasquale Carpenter stood as a lookout, a part of the group of teens headed to Roseland attacked the family on the subway platform. The father, Sherwin Watkins, was knocked to the ground. His back pocket and buttocks were slashed, and $200 were taken from him. The mother, Karen, was thrown to the ground and kicked in the chest and face. Brian, one of two sons, went to help his mother. He struggled with and then chased Yul Gary Morales. Morales stabbed him in the heart.
From my vantage point, I could see that there were people scrambling. Some people were on the floor. Finally, there were some people that were running towards me. So I ran along with them.
Brian, not realizing he'd been injured, chased the retreating teens up the stairs, followed by his brother, Todd. Brian collapsed on the token booth level of the subway station. He was taken to St. Vincent's Hospital and pronounced dead at 10:46 p.m. He was just 22 years old. Eight teens were arrested for the attack. They were split into two groups and tried separately in two trials. Seven of the teens, including Morales, were convicted of second-degree murder under the controversial felony murder rule.
At its core, the felony murder rule is the idea that if you take part in a felony in which someone is killed, you can be convicted of murder.
The charges were dismissed for the lone defendant who never signed or videoed a confession. The seven remaining defendants received the maximum penalty, 25 years to life.
My thoughts have been full of regrets. And I accept full responsibility for my role in the incident and fully admit that I willfully took part in a robbery that I knew that was wrong.
Despite the shocking nature of the crime and the horrible death of Brian Watkins, there are 23 reasons why 23 years is enough. Pasquale's defense attorney asserted, and even the prosecutor, Thomas Shields, conceded that Pasquale was unarmed. Shields produced no evidence that he was anything other than a lookout. By the prosecutor's own admission, Pasquale did not kill anyone.
I remember when he was in trial, and then they gave him the 25 years to life. My God, I screamed so loud when they were cuffing him and taking him away. And I was screaming that I love him.
There was one individual who stabbed that kid to death, and everybody got a life sentence over it.
When I started reading some of the commentary by legal scholars and people who were outside of the criminal justice system, people who weren't judges, who weren't prosecutors, and learned what they had to say about the felony murder rule, I was shocked. A large number of people would discredit the felony murder rule as inconsistent with our Constitution, who believed that the felony murder rule had no place in our criminal justice system.
The second week when I call up, but I was calling the jail almost every day to find out what's going to go on, when can I see my son. When I finally visit him, when I hold him, he was shaking. And he was crying. And he's telling me, Mommy, I'm so sorry. And I was crying with him. We were hugging each other for a good 5 minutes. And that's when I told him that I'm going to be there for you. We'll go to the time together. And then he said, Mommy, I'm going to make you so proud of me.
I needed to take introspection of the person I was and do whatever I can to make that person a better person.
Please give my son a second chance. And I pray, God, that for me to continue having the good health and for me to see Pascal come home, get married, have children, and for me to hold to my grandkids. That's my dream. And everything that he worked so hard for him to be very successful in this life. That's my wish for my Pascal.
So in that clip, Pasquale and his mother explained really the impact that this one fateful night had on their lives. On Pasquale, obviously, for who has now been in prison for 23 plus years, serving a 25 year to life sentence. And his mother, who also said, you know, that she would be serving the time with him. So what has your relationship with both of those people been, and what have you experienced in terms of learning what the impact of this incarceration has been on their lives?
Both Pasquale and his mother clearly feel terrible about the fact that Brian Watkins was killed during this robbery and would do anything they could to take that back. But his role was very minor, and it's something that I can say he feels deep remorse about it. His family had come up with the idea of having a campaign saying 23 years was enough, and they had a petition to sign, and I thought, well, what can I do besides just sign the petition? And Pasquale had wanted somebody to make a full-length film, and I said I could not do that, that was just too much for me as an individual who had never made a film before to do. But I was sitting around, and one day I realized, oh, 23 reasons why 23 years is enough. So next time I talked to him, he said, I can think of 7 reasons, but 23. And so we laughed. But I came up with adding to his reasons, which had mostly to do with his limited role in that it was a spur-of-the-moment thing, that he didn't anticipate that anyone would be injured. All of those facts, one of the areas that I brought in was this media frenzy that happened around the case, which set, I think, a climate that made it very hard for any of these defendants to get a fair trial.
I think in watching your film, it really stood out to me. You have some powerful archival footage of really what was seen as a panic around the time when this incident took place, around the issue of crime in New York City, and really sort of racializing that to saying that groups of brown and black youth were essentially dangerous, and how that impacted Pasquale Carpenter's case, and especially being community media here in the Hudson Valley. At WGXC, we've been trying to talk to our listeners about what's different about community media, and we're in the midst of a pledge drive. And so we're asking folks to call in at 518-697-7400 and show their support for community media. But I do think this aspect of, you know, what role the media plays in hyping up crime and the impact this has on people is extremely important and was covered in this movie. And so I'm curious if you would comment on this for a moment, and then we'll play a clip and return to it. So what role did the media play in Pasquale's case?
It just made them seem callous and inhuman, and that was part of it. They were called a wolf pack, just as the Central Park Five were called a wolf pack. And it was a very difficult time. I remember the crime. When Pasquale told me about it, it was like, oh, that, yes. And it was really used to whip up fear. So every opportunity at that point to point to people of color, to poor people, and demonize them was part of the history of this particular trial.
So we'll play a clip right now of some of the archival footage, as well as some comments about the role of the media. And then we will be right back on the Prison Voices Project on WGXC 90.7 FM. We're talking to Deirdre Sinnott, filmmaker of 23 Reasons Why 23 Years is Enough, which can be seen at 23reasonsfilm.com. So here's a clip, and we'll be back in one moment.
Major cities in the nation are under attack from within. Nowhere are the problems more visible than in New York City, where two killings have focused a spotlight of shock on the nation's largest urban area. Bob Fall reports.
New York has gotten so mean and so dangerous, the mayor actually went to church yesterday and pleaded with residents to come out from behind locked doors to help, he said,
against an onslaught by antisocial forces that threaten to tear our city apart.
It was just about 2 weeks before the Brian Watkins homicide, the first group of the Central Park Five defendants had been convicted. And that was fresh in the minds of everybody in New York. And I think that sort of, that whole anxiety of gangs, of wilding black and Hispanic teenagers, you know, wreaking mayhem on the city, had a lot of people nervous at the time and on edge. And the relentless persistence of homicides in the press every day. I mean, when you think about it, 2000, you know, well over 2,000 homicides in a year is an average of more than six a day. And, you know, the press couldn't even keep up with all the bodies. I have a New York Post headline hanging up in my office. It says, Dave, do something. They jumped on Dinkins with both feet. It was all his problem. They laid all these bodies at his feet and said, you know, and look at these kids in Central Park. Look what they did. And now you got this. You know, we just can't take it anymore.
Critics complain his laid-back style shows the mayor isn't up to the job.
What they had done just shocked the city, and it was aided and abetted by the media and all the public officials who got to have their say in the media about what a heinous crime this was. And in that climate, in that environment, there's no way those boys were ever going to get a fair trial.
We have to be mature enough to be able to look at situations and to say, well, maybe at the time it was understandable because there was panic about the level of crime and murder in the streets of New York, but we're 23 years smarter and more mature at this point, and I think it's a terrible injustice for Pasquale Carpenter to remain incarcerated. The lessons that he's learned from his own experience make him a valuable asset to the community.
So that was a clip from 23 Reasons Why 23 Years is Enough, talking about the role of the media, specifically that it played during Pascal Carpenter's case, but also just in general. And right now, as listeners are tuning in to WGXC Community Hands-On Radio here in Greene and Columbia counties, we're reminded that our media here plays a very different role in trying to actually debunk some of the myths of corporate media and really challenge the ways in which the media is being used as a tool to create these racist images and to continue to push for more poor people and people of color to go into prison instead of really addressing some of the root causes of poverty, crime, and injustice in this country. And here on the Prison Voices Project, as well as WGXC, we're trying to create a community media that does something different. So if you'd like to support that community media, please call in at 518-697-7400. And Deirdre Sinnott, who is the filmmaker, has been joining us for the last hour on the Prison Voices Project. And we're just curious, Deirdre, if you have any closing words, what's going on with Pascual's case, how people can get involved, and sort of what the future looks like from here on out.
Well, the links from 23reasonsfilm.com, they'll find the film. I decided to put it up online so that anyone can see it as a resource and really as a tool for activism. One of the you can go to Pascual's website from there, which is pascualcarpenter@.wordpress.com, but the link is right on 23reasons. 23reasonsfilm.com. Right now, what I'm doing is I am taking the film to different places and having showings, which gives people the opportunity to bring in an audience maybe into their home or into their place of worship or their union hall or wherever. And I've gone and discussed these issues after the film, and we've had some amazing discussions about felony murder, about the media, about all the issues that came into play that led to this very harsh 25 years to life conviction. Pascual, at this point, he's coming up for a LCTA, or limited credit time allowance, hearing before the parole board in November, and we're trying to fundraise to pay for a lawyer to help put his parole package together, and if necessary, to pursue any appeals after that. So there's a show coming up in Manhattan at Blue Stockings Bookstore on March 26th. There's a showing in Vermont. There's a showing in Utica, New York, at a place called The Other Side in Uptown Utica on April 12th. And I'm very interested in showing this film around. Gives people to sit down and have an important conversation about felony murder, and this is a law that really needs to be changed.
That was Deirdre Sinnott, and you're listening to the Prison Voices Project on WGXC 90.7 FM. So she was speaking about 23 Reasons Why 23 Years is Enough and the case of Pascual Carpenter. If you're just tuning in, you can listen to the show on the WGXC archives as well as many of the other programs that have been aired on the Prison Voices Project. If you go to wgxc.org, click on Archives and search Prison Voices Project. You can also go to wgxc.org and you can donate. Click on donate. It's the pledge drive right now, and we're asking for people to call in at 518-697-7400 and donate to WGXC to keep this programming on the air, to keep the Prison Voices Project and many of the other programs that we have here going strong. So if you donate right now, $25 or more, you can get a limited edition Prison Voices Project mixtape that's made up of various songs that I've played on the air on this program. And so right now I will play one of those songs, and there's many others. So here is Misunderstood by Common.
Baby, you understand me now. Sometimes you see that I'm mad. No one can always be an angel.
goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
And this is for Pasquale Carpenter. Thanks for your letter. Thanks for all the work you do.
We do this for the people that walk that path, trying to get to their dream. Yeah. He stood on the corner with the rest of them, though we knew that this corner wasn't the best of them. Hard streets and the life that caressed them. Dirt police, domestic beefs that's festering. He knew the president wasn't addressing them, though dead presidents was addressing them. Two kids from hot sex, no protection in. People don't see how AIDS is affecting them. It get hard, you get to get the guy questioning. Can't find a job, so you rob it and hustling. He killed Marx and sold dope for cousin them. Can't believe they would be the ones bucking them. He on the ground, he can feel God touching him. He heard the sound of his mom saying trust in him. At heaven's gate saying, Lord, please let me in, or send me back to tell my people to be better men. Cause we are. She danced, she danced for them. Her body moved, but her mind was Magna Can. Thinking, I don't know where they hands and been. Relationships with men have been so damaging. She thought back to when she was at Howard and dreams of doing scenes with Terrence Howard and Broadway plays and dancing with Alvin them. The ones that make it always ain't the talented. Some dreams get lost, never to be found again. At first stripping seems so empowering. Most every girl wanna do it now and then, but being me every day is devouring. Cats with paper where she put powder in. Life would break her, now she powdering. She was high when she fell down in it. Crowd surrounding it, heart was pounding it. She fell into a deep sleep, the siren sounded it. Seen bright lights in the midst of clouds in it. Talk to God, feeling like his child again. Said, Lord, let me live so I can make you proud again. Cause we are.
That was Misunderstood by Common, and that is one of the many tracks on the Prison Voices Project Volume 1 mixtape. If you call in right now and make a pledge of $25, there are still three mixtapes left, 518-697-7400. Call in and you can get your own copy. Let's keep it going. This is It Only Gets Better by Talib Kweli featuring Marsha Ambrosius.
Hands in the air, hands in the air. You gon' feel this one. Yeah. Hands in the air, hands in the air. Everybody. Hey, 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 yeah.
Lord knows I had it hard today.
Early, let us pray.
jerk. You gonna cuss him out? Hit him with the bus driver.
And that was It Only Gets Better featuring Talib Kweli, and now sampling Walk Alone by The Roots on the mixtape. You can call in now 518-697-7400 and get your own Prison Voices Project mixtape. Here is a sample of Walk Alone by The Roots, also on the mixtape.
Trap, no shield, no sword. The unbeaten path got my soul so sore. Allured by the lust, something money can't cure. The devil want me as is, but God, he want more. Eyes closed, eyes open, great another day. Here we go. Like a nigga woke up late in the Truman Show. Living life without a care. Mean poker face, but I'm forced to play solitaire till I get up out of here. Move like a wanted man with a bounty on his head. Work alone, sleep alone, eat alone. Daily bread counted till my fingers red. How you gonna judge a man? Walking in the shoes of a man with a broken leg. Flame on the trail headed for the powder keg. Last place in the race, I ain't never led. Like I ain't never bled. Time to get up out of bed. Serving in the army of one, it's on again.
Walk alone, I walk alone, you know I walk alone. Always been on my own. Ever since the day I was born. So I don't mind walking alone. Walk alone, I walk alone, you know I walk alone. Always been on my own, ever since the day I was born, so I don't mind walking alone.
I'm in the chess match, I'm in the death trap. I'm trying to find out where the eggs in the nest at. I want blood when the sky turns jet black. No love in the world can correct that. I'm in the slow lane, I'm on my Cobain. I'm in the new spot, trying to run the old game. I got a new chick, put out my old flame. No peace, no sleep, no love for a young beast. You can put me in a cage, you can put me in the jungle where the lion get blazed. It ain't no hell like the hell I raised. I die in the bed I made, for I lay what I love, I loathe. I'm a snake in the garden of bones. I'm a loner in a world of clones. I'm the piece that don't belong. See, I'm wrong where the reaper wrong. Till they put my name on the stone.
Walk alone, I walk alone, you know I walk alone.
That's Walk Alone by The Roots featuring Trek North, Porn, and Dice Raw. And this is Run by Dice Raw on his new album, Jimmy's Back, talking about the new Jim Crow and the system of mass incarceration. We'll sample this. If you'd like to get your own Prison Voices Project mixtape, call in now, 518-697-7400. A pledge of $25 or more will get you your own Prison Voices Project mixtape that features the music that I've been playing.
The darkness seems hopeless. Shots firing, cops sirens. It all sounds like a song to me. And it's saying, run, 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 run.
Yeah, cops
it's
saying, shit.
Run, 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 run. It's saying,
cops coming.
And so that is Run by Dice Raw on the album Jimmy's Back. And we will just play one more sample. Please call in now, 518-697-7400, to get your own Prison Voices Project mixtape. And, of course, it's got a little Tupac on it. This is Changes by Tupac Shakur.
See no changes. Wake up in the morning and I ask myself, is life worth living? Should I blast myself? I'm tired of being poor and even worse, I'm black. My stomach hurts, so I'm looking for a purse to snatch. Cops give a damn about a Negro. Pull a trigger, kill a nigga, he's a hero. Get it back to the kids, who the hell cares? One less hungry mouth on the welfare. First ship him, don't let him deal with brothers. Give him guns, step back, watch him kill each other. It's time to fight back, that's what Huey said. Two shots in the dark, now Huey's dead. I got love for my brothers, but we can never go nowhere unless we share with each other. We gotta start making changes. Learn to see me as a brother instead of two distant strangers. And that's how it's supposed to be. How can the devil take a brother if he's close to me? I let it go back to when we played as kids, but then it changed. That's the way it is. Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
And that is Changes by Tupac Shakur on the Prison Voices Project. And just want to give some last minute announcements for people who are tuning in about upcoming events. So this coming Monday, March 17th at 6:30 p.m., the Campaign for Alternatives to Isolated Confinement will be speaking and giving a workshop at the First Presbyterian Church at Hudson on 4th and Warren Street. They are talking about their statewide campaign to pass legislation that would eliminate solitary confinement in New York State and essentially it would. Right now, we have something that, you know, often goes under different names like segregated housing units or other forms of segregation. But essentially, they're arguing that anyone who is placed into solitary, what we know as solitary confinement, for 17 hours a day or more, really should not be there, that is a form of torture, and that if there are extreme cases in which individuals really are a threat to a broader population inside of prison, then what those people need is not further isolation, but what they need is more interventions, potentially addiction programming, potentially anger management, potentially support and services, not isolation. And so CAIC, which stands for the Campaign for Alternatives to Isolated Confinement, will be coming to Hudson on Monday, March 17th at 6:30 at the First Presbyterian Church at 4th and Warren Street. So come on out to the event if you want to learn more about the campaign. And they will also be speaking about Monday, May 5th, which is the New York Against Incarceration and Justice Action Day. There will be a noon rally with keynote speaker Cornell West, followed by a march, legislative action, and a closing reception. The main demands of this action are to stop solitary confinement, release aging prisoners. So there's a large aging population in prison, people who are over the age of 65, people in their 80s. It's time to let them out. They don't pose a threat to society. The other demands are for parole reform, something we've covered extensively on this program, and also an end to discrimination against formerly incarcerated people. That's also been a theme we've talked about on this program in terms of the Ban the Box campaign, that box that says, have you ever been convicted of a crime? And the Center for Law and Justice in Albany, New York, has been collecting signatures on a petition to demand a truth and reconciliation hearing to expose the racism and injustice in the prison system. So you can join in these campaigns and you can get more information about what is going on if you write to the Prison Voices Project at Gmail. And I will also air a PSA that has more follow-up information, a phone number that you can call, and an email that you can check in with if you'd like to hear about coordinating transportation. Thanks for listening to the Prison Voices Project on WGXC. And here is information about the May 5th action. Never change. Join New York Against Incarceration and Justice on Monday, May 5th. Cornell West will be the keynote speaker at a noon rally in the East Capitol Park in Albany. The rally will be followed by a march and legislative visits that demand a stop to solitary confinement, parole reform, release of aging prisoners, an end to discrimination of formerly incarcerated people, and a Truth and Reconciliation Commission that examines the racism and injustice in the prison system. For more information on the day of action or to find out about transportation, contact nysprisonerjustice@gmail.com or call 518-434-4037. You have been listening to the Prison Voices Project, a radio storytelling project highlighting the voices of people impacted by the prison system. The Prison Voices Project airs on the second and fourth Thursday of every month from 10 to 11 a.m. on WGXC Hands-On Community Radio, 90.7 FM in Greene and Columbia counties. If you are listening to the program and would like to share your story, or you have ideas for the program, please write to us at 704 Columbia Street, 2nd floor, Hudson, New York, 12534. If you have feedback about what you have just heard, you can email us at feedback@wgxc.org. Thanks for listening.
I wish I knew how it would feel to be free. I wish I could break all the chains holding me.
wish I could say all the things that I should say. Say them loud, say them clear, for the whole round world to hear. I wish I could share all the love that's in my heart. Remove all the bars that keep us apart.